the Crawl Space. I am Tim, here today with Lance in the Empty Frames Studios.
Wormtown. Wormtown nestled in the Empty Frames Crawl Space Studios. What a fun episode we're about to drop right now.
Yeah, this guy, John David Booter, he started his podcast, Done Disappeared, of course, in the search of missing Pennsylvania woman Clara Pockets. And you may be thinking, why is this such a fun interview? Well, it's fake. It's a joke. It's a comedy podcast.
He's the first person, as far as we know, who has parodied what this genre does, right?
Yeah, as far as I know. It's such a niche genre to parody it. Is like definitely something fresh that really hasn't been done on a mainstream level. And this podcast, Done Disappeared, is hysterical and is getting the popularity that it deserves.
It was with a little bit of trepidation that I started listening to it, because you don't want to hear a parody of yourself and think, well, oh my God, that's what we actually sound like, or that's what we do. But it's hysterical. It's short episodes, what, 15 minutes at the most?
Less, usually.
Yeah, and yep. You're laughing the entire time. And I don't want to give away too much with the interview with John David Booter, but what a character.
Yeah, so John David Booter isn't his real name. He does not give his real name, which is part of the fun of this podcast and this experience that is the podcast Done Disappeared. So this episode here that we're going to bring you on this Crawl Space show is different than what we normally do. It's not serious. It's actually quite funny.
It's sort of like a coming of age of what we do. You know what I mean? One point that we bring up in there is that every successful industry has a series of checks and balances, and he's now become, whether he likes it or not, the checks and balances to what we do.
For people who do what we do, before we do something big, like, or something that hasn't been done now, where you have to think, oh, are we going to be parodied on Done Disappeared? And that's a good thing, actually.
What an honor. What a humbling thing.
Not only that, but it's a good thing to keep people in check.
Exactly.
Or at least force them to look at themselves in the mirror.
I wonder if, after listening to his series about Clara Pockets, the disappearance of Clara Pockets, I wonder how many people took up baking cakes. Because I really wanted to try.
Use
the recipe, the entire technique.
Parody is a very powerful thing. You know, there really wasn't a good or memorable Western made in Hollywood for about 20 or 30 years after Blazing Saddles. And so hopefully that doesn't happen with the true crime podcasting genre, that it just goes away because of Done Disappeared. I don't think it will.
So you're saying Done Disappeared is the Blazing Saddles of the podcast world?
100%.
100%. And I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Because you bring it up in the interview that it's not it's a parody of the entire genre, not a particular show. And
right.
That's what makes it successful.
And that's why I think we were so drawn to it. If it was just a strict parody of any one of the shows that he touches on, it wouldn't be that funny. Or if it was, and it might come off as mean or like just angry, in which case it doesn't. You know, the way it is, it doesn't come off angry or mean. It's just funny. And if you're not laughing at it, you probably might be taking the subject matter a little too seriously. And obviously it's serious subject matter, but you
right.
have to...
There
has to be a release.
There has to be something that you can find the humor in order to maintain sanity.
And before we play the interview with John David Booter, let's just throw it to our buddy Jordan, north of the border, of the Nighttime Podcast. He just had a quick word for John.
Hi, Tim and Lance. This is Jordan from the Nighttime Podcast. I want to commend you both for having the courage to invite John David Booter onto your show. So many other filmmaking podcasters seem more interested in stealing some of the Clara Pockets awareness being created away from him, rather than simply focusing on the man behind the microphone. I had some comments for your show celebrating John David Booter. I hope you could share them with him for me. I've been unable to contact him after he blocked me for tweeting about Clara. First of all, please congratulate John David Booter on the incredible success of Done Disappeared and for bringing closure in the Pockets case. Not bad for a filmmaker turned podcasting reporter. I don't know about you both, but when I listened to all 8 thrilling episodes of Done Disappeared, I was as caught up in the Pockets case as I was in the various characters and subplots that boiled below the surface. Most notably, the hurt he felt when his now ex-fiancée, Lisa, walked out on him. Universally and unanimously, people are celebrating Done Disappeared as a true crime investigative milestone, and I agree, but I think it's bigger than that. This is a love story bigger than Romeo and Juliet. It's the story of America's sweetest town, and most of all, Done Disappeared is the story of John David Booter. In closing, please thank John David Booter. I really hope he's hard at work on his TV show, a spin-off podcast, and of course, season 2. I hope we hear from him again and he doesn't disappear.
Well, thank you, Jordan, for providing that. Once again, just rising up to the Canadian standard of politeness and no sarcasm there.
No. Straight read.
Thank you.
So John David Booter has concluded his first season of Done Disappeared, but season 2 is launching in spring of 2018.
and you'll know why we're laughing when
you hear the interview. But so he's got an Indiegogo page up, and we want to urge you to go and donate to his second season. He's only asking for $10,000, and he's already raised a few thousand. And so there are some, if you're a fan of the show, or if you listen to this, or if you haven't heard it yet, and you listen to this, and then you go listen and you're a fan of the show, you will hear some of the commercials that he does during his show. Like one of them is Big Box of Shit. You can get a big box of shit mailed to your house. And it's obviously a joke. It's a parody of any one of our sponsors when you listen to it. But if you go to this Indiegogo page, you can literally paid John David Booter to get a big box of shit delivered to your house.
Right, and the way Indiegogo works is you just don't donate unless you want to. You get a gift in return, and like you said, one of the gifts is the big box of shit.
There are a lot of other ones.
There's a lot of other ones.
You can donate like $5 and get a personalized email, I think it is, but there are a few tiers, but we definitely want to urge you to do this because this is a podcast that we really believe in. We want to have a second and third season. I think it would be a lot of fun.
Not only do we really believe in it, but we need a John David Booter in our lives, in this industry. And I think a few hundred people donating or contributing to the Indiegogo for $5 is a $5 is a small price to pay to maintain something that is needed here.
Right. We've donated because we love the show so much, and we want to give back a little bit.
And we want to get him out of his mother's basement.
Right. So thank you, John, for your podcast and your Indiegogo page. Just thank you, John.
And thank you for taking our money.
Thanks, John. Okay. Without further ado, here is the interview with John David Booter.
Mr. John David Booter.
Of Done Disappeared. With him, John David Booter. Welcome to Crawl Space, John David Booter from the podcast Done Disappeared. How's it going?
So well. How are you?
Going great.
Doing great. Thank you so much. I know you're extremely busy handling the newfound fame and everything that comes with being a successful podcast documentary filmmaker.
You guys get it. I know you guys get it. It's quite a life. And I'm just lucky to be living it, you know.
You just ride the wave.
We just make money.
Just riding that wave.
Now, we make money hand over fist doing this. I imagine you're doing the same.
It's a wave of money.
Absolutely. My God. I haven't had this much capital since I was, you know, slinging weed in high school. So this has been a real treat.
Isn't that funny? That seems to be the path of most super successful podcasters. The slinging weed in high school followed up by, just truckloads of cash doing investigative podcasting.
Absolutely. I mean, the best way to solve a crime is to tell yourself that you're going to monetize it at the end of the day. That's the best motivator. And if anything will light a fire under you to just get out there and find some missing woman, it's money. And that's why we do it. That's why we love it. And that's why we're going to do it until the day we die.
Well said. Did you, were you surprised at how fast the money came?
It was shocking. I mean, within 2 days, we had tripled our Patreon goal, which was, you know, a shock. I mean, I expected it to be a slow trickle, but people were really hungry for this story. They were famished for the story of Clara Pockets. I didn't know that it was going to touch so many hearts so soon, but my God, if it hasn't, you know, spread like wildfire. And, you know, we're working on our TV show now. Want to talk to you guys about that later. So get some advice. We've got some cool stuff planned. We got a lot of action sequences, like big explosions and musical numbers and
long hikes in the woods, I hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I'm just going to get lost in those woods.
Yeah, you got to get lost in the woods, metaphorically and physically.
Find myself.
Yeah. One quick piece of advice for shooting. Just go all drone. All drone.
All drone.
Yep.
I like to think of my podcast as being all drone. Just droning on and on and on about the poor missing Pennsylvania mother.
So what gave you the idea to do this podcast?
Well, you know, I was listening to, I'm a big true crime fan. You know, I listened to all these podcasts, and I was, you know, going through a rough patch, just sort of needed a creative outlet. And I needed something that I could execute myself, you know, because I don't have a team. I don't have really anyone who is willing to collaborate with me at all, for whatever reason. So I needed to find a project that I could sort of just like execute, like individually. And I thought, you know, what better than to create a podcast? You know, I can just sit in my room and plunk on my laptop, and I just made a little test episode on GarageBand, and I used my Apple earbuds, like the old kind, and a pop protector that I made out of a hanger and a sock, and I continue to use that equipment throughout the entire first season. And if it doesn't sound like a pro podcast, you know.
Right.
No, it sounds crystal clear. You did a great job with that.
Thank you so much.
You sort of parody a lot of podcasts in your podcast. So where did that come from?
You know, if we're going to break the fourth wall here, I just really love things that make me roll my eyes a little bit, and it kind of just like really gets me excited. I like to sort of like, you know, make an observation about something and then kind of just like let it like spiral into absurdity until it becomes like something else. I don't know. It's just I always have found the best way for me to write is to sort of be sort of incensed by something. And all of it's done with love.
Right.
But certainly there are some more than others that, you know, I've listened to and just been like, someone has to say something, you know.
So
someone has to.
Yeah.
Someone must say what we're all thinking.
which is thank you. Thank you, John David Booter.
Right.
We're all thinking that.
Yeah.
So this idea, so parody, your parody is sort of born out of fandom plus like a twinge of anger or eye rolledom over
like
some of these.
Yeah, it's like obsessive fandom mixed with like a lack of release in terms of, because I feel like I don't have a lot of like friends who are I have a few, but who are like as deep in like the true crime podcast world as I am in terms of like listening to all of them. And just being aware of all of their specific quirks and pros and cons. So I feel like it was kind of, and I would never go on like Reddit or anything and like become some sort of internet troll. So I decided to become an internet troll in like a different way, I guess.
It's really brilliantly done. I have to say though, you know, you get your point across like over and over and over. You know,
thanks.
It's a beautiful thing. You know, it really is. And I think you're right. Someone need to say, you know, Lance and I have often talked about how what we do floats a line between like, you know, it's really serious stuff, but it's like, we also said that there could easily be a comedy made of this.
Right. There's so many absurd elements to it. There's so many times where we look at what we do and we say, I can't believe that we have a voice. I can't believe that this is something,
it's a tricky line to toe in terms of doing something like this, because I definitely wouldn't want to, shit on what the work people are doing, but it's just, it's sort of just the idea of podcasting to me is ripe for some commentary. Just the idea that anyone can sort of get a microphone and create this world for themselves and sort of present themselves however they want, which I've done and has been super fun. Super fun to just have this world built with zero context about, where it's coming from or anything is just a blast. I really am having a lot of fun with it.
I really like the fact that every successful industry, even every successful, individual company or government has a series of checks and balances, and you have just established the checks and balances to this, It's just when you think you're getting a little too good, you get the John David Booter to repeatedly thank himself, and then you think to yourself, I got to make sure I'm not taking the, you know what I mean? Now I'm self-aware.
We
now,
all just got to stay woke, That's a big part of podcasting. We all just got to stay woke and just focus on the work, It's about the work. It's about finding Clara pockets at the end
for
of the
sure.
day. That's all it's about.
Now, we loved this podcast immediately when we heard about it. It was really kind of like a whispering kind of like across the aisles. It's like, hey, did you hear it Done Disappeared? You got to check this out. And I heard it from two or three different people. They're like, you got to check this out. Checked it out and absolutely loved it immediately. Have you run into some podcasters who aren't as friendly about that?
Well, in terms of podcasters, everyone's been really sweet. We've certainly gotten some real intense reviews, most of which are just complaining about the amount of ads, which makes me really happy.
Mission accomplished.
It thrills me. Most of the 1-star reviews we get, I just couldn't be happier with. Usually they'll start off with something that makes me a little bit aw. But then they'll cap it off with something that just completely makes everything right in the world. This isn't funny at all. And there are so many ads. Or just right. Or, this isn't funny. It's just creepy.
Right.
Which that one I really liked. That it's just creepy. Because it is creepy. The whole case is creepy. And John David Booter, he's a creepy guy. So
yeah.
In terms of people we've sort of referenced or whatever, everyone's been super nice. Even Mitch Goubert tweeted about us, and I expected to hear from his lawyers immediately, but unfortunately, he was cool with it.
Okay, so here's the running list that I have of the podcast you sort of parody. Up and Vanished, True Crime Garage, Sword and Scale, Nancy Grace, My Favorite Murder, Crime Writers On, Missing Maura Murray, and did I miss any?
Case File.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
Case
that's
File.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I really like Case File a lot.
I love that. If you like the show, it ends up in your show.
Right.
That's,
well,
I love
if I
that.
Listen to it, if I listen to it a lot, I'm gonna wanna shout it out. I listen to Case File a lot, and I really love a good Australian accent. So any excuse to be able to drop into that guy has a really fun Australian accent, because it's really, really clipped and sort of this and just really monotone. And it's just talking about really graphic things and just not really changing the inflection of his voice at all. And I'm really a big fan.
That was awesome.
And he's anonymous, no one knows who he is. And I love that.
That's wonderful. I had no idea that was you.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's outstanding. The Nancy Grace character is outstanding as well. You'd really think that it was Nancy Grace doing the, unless she did it for you.
No, I really did. I really did think it was her for the first minute or so until it gets silly. I really thought it was Nancy.
Yeah, that's awesome. That made me really happy that people thought it was really her.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing that I've just sort of had in my pocket for years is Well, first of all, just having a lot of really talented friends that I've always wanted to like make something with, but that particular friend is just like incredibly like an amazing actor and has had this Nancy Grace impression for years. And I sort of realized halfway through this endeavor that I would be a fool to not exploit that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a gift wrap for you.
Yeah, it's really, and she improvised that entire thing.
I was going to say, yeah. Did she? And, right. So she improvised a lot of it.
Yeah, we had a couple drinks and I was like, do you think you could do Nancy Grace on this thing? And she was just like, give me your phone. And she just like screamed into my voice memo for like 5 minutes. And I was like, cool, thanks. That's all I need.
That's incredible.
Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. Bombshell tonight. Clara Pockets went missing in 1987. And after that, not a word. Nada. Zilch. Nothing. Zero. Not a peep. Not a whisper. Not a word. Tonight, some kind of podcast hitting all the top charts, getting international attention, somehow recalling vague details of her disappearance, hosted by a man named John David Booter. Tonight, joining us on the show is John David Booter.
Hello, Nancy. Thank you so much for having
me. Now, Mr. Booter, what I want to know is, before you began just months ago, covering the case of Clara Pockets, are you telling me that in the small town of Davistown, Pennsylvania, population 250, that you'd never come across a beautiful, stunning queen like Clara?
Well, she disappeared in 1980.
A shapely African-American woman who, despite her missing leg, was an incredible dancer. Who, even though she was described by some as dull, despite having a fourth grade education, had a razor sharp wit.
Yes,
and a sexual energy that only a Leo could possess. Are you telling me, Mr. Booter, that you never came across Clara Pockets?
She disappeared in 1987.
What have you done with her, Mr. Booter? Where is Clara Pockets? Where is her family, Mr.
That's
Booter?
What we're trying to find
out. I'd like to speak with them.
Well, as would I.
Where is she? When did she go missing? Is there a God?
Oh.
And if there is, may I speak with him? Because Mr. Booter?
Yes?
He seems to be the only one who does know anyone who came from or birthed or was a brother to or uncle from Clara Pockets. Stay with us.
I think what is really stands out as far as you know, you're a fan of these shows, the beats that you hit and the moments that you hit, that like we've listened to it. When I listened to it, and I just heard like your different characters describing Clara Pockets completely, like, in different ways. You know, blonde hair, she's, you know, blind in one eye, she's missing a leg, but still was a, you know, successful dancer.
Yeah.
It's that exact...
Beautiful waist-length raven black hair.
Right. Two different colored eyes.
Yeah.
But it's that exaggeration of what we do. I mean, we've had moments where, you know, people question what we do and you know, some like conjecting conflicting reports.
Well, yeah, quite literally with like eye color on Maura Murray's missing flyers, it says different eye colors. So that easily could have been a conversation we had. I don't think we did, but we might have. It's a very familiar note.
Right. So to hear that. And, you know, and to know, oh, God, this guy listens to these and he takes notes of these and that's what you're exploiting and exaggerating is really funny. And if it was just somebody straight up making fun, then, you know, you'd get irritated and you'd say, you know, but you can tell.
It wouldn't have been as popular.
No, I would never want anything to come across as like mean spirited.
Right.
And there were certain bits that I had that I was like a little bit worried about, just because I had sort of listened to like maybe a few episodes of the podcast, but not the whole podcast. So I was playing on things that I picked up in those episodes that I then began to worry like might not be recognizable enough tropes to sort of like make fun of in like a general way, and it would have just seemed like I was being mean. But, you know, I ran out of time, so I just did it anyway.
Right. Another one of my favorite characters is the psychic character. What was your inspiration for the psychic character?
Well, actually, it was your show. I wanted to have a psychic on the show for a while, and I was sort of looking for something to watch or listen to where they bring in a psychic. And then I watched the episode of Missing Maura Murray, and instantly when she says that she doesn't want any information at all, she just wants her name, where she was born, like what she looked like, I was like, okay, there we go.
You're welcome.
Sort of, she's like, I'm just going to do a totally cold reading with absolutely zero information. So all I need from you is just her name and where she lived and where she grew up and when she disappeared and how and who took her.
I love.
And she's kind of just like, when she's kind of like, I'm seeing a guy who seems like a bad guy. And they're just like, cool. And she's like, did she go with him like willingly? And the psychic's just like, no. And anyway, I thought she was really fun.
I've told this story a few times that I'll just be like driving in my car, or I'll be at the store, or just doing anything, and there's many parts of the podcast that make me crack up, but just the fact that the psychic signs off with "Blessed be" is, I don't know why. Yeah. I just hear her voice, and the fact that she needs to sign off with "Blessed be" is hilarious to me.
That's what they all do.
That's part of
the code.
The more subtle jokes are really my favorite, and you kind of hit on it. It's like your show isn't Scary Movie like to Scream. It's more like Naked Gun is to like the cop genre. You know, it's not like a direct parody in my point of view. It kind of like,
right.
It kind of encompasses a lot. So like the subtle jokes, like, you know, your meetup is going to be in 2016 and season two is coming in 2016. Like that shit really cracks me up.
Thanks. Yeah. I don't know where that comes from. I don't know where that came from. That's not in reference to anything.
Right. I mean, it's just like what you said, like you took the idea and it just spiraled itself into its own absurdity. And that's what came out. And like, to me, it's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, I think just the more I worked on it, the more, I, you know, my goal throughout the first 8 episodes or whatever was just to sort of keep building out the world of John David Booter and sort of just making it the scope of his world more specific and more like big seeming. And a lot of that came through and sort of just like having this completely like nonsensical timeline, and just like the fact that he was like completely unaware of it, and just like the way he took in information like that ended up being a big part of it that I hope to continue throughout his life.
That's awesome.
That's great. One of my favorite books is A Confederacy of Dunces, and John David Booter definitely reminds me of Ignatius.
Yeah, that was a favorite book of mine as well.
Are there any jokes or shots at podcasters or ribbing of podcasters that like people haven't picked up on yet?
I feel like the people who really listen, like you guys pretty much hit all the ones I was specifically making fun of. I had another amazing friend that did like an incredible Madison Reed, Amy Eric impression. And it seemed like on social media, people just like, and not without even questioning whether or not it was real, just like were like, it's real, which made me be like, you know, I thought that was awesome. But then like deep down, a part of me is just like, no, it's my friend. But other than that, I think, you know, some people don't get any of the references at all. I don't know. People pick up on different stuff, but the people who really, really get the show, I think, can pick out what the specific references are.
Yeah.
But then, you know, some people have a hard time. But you know, we'll make it clearer for them somehow, I guess. If they listen to this.
I don't think that this is the case. But has anyone thought that this was real? Have you received any correspondence like that?
Oh yes, absolutely. Uh huh. Yeah, I got one message from a guy that was just like, you're exploiting this poor woman. She was loved by so many people, and you're just doing this to sell merch. and like you just want attention. And they're absolutely right. You know, she was loved. She has a family, and I am trying to sell merch. So I couldn't really fire back with anything at all. I just hope that they subscribed and they continue to give us a chance, and that hopefully if we crowdfund or something, they'll donate a significant portion of their paycheck to our search.
It's important, and people should, you know, they should, for humanity's sake at least, they should contribute.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people stumble onto the podcast without any sort of context.
Right.
And think that it's real, which I just can't get enough of that. I love that.
The idea about the cake, was this the Chekhov's gun element to the story of Clara Pocket?
No. That just kind of, again, was just sort of like, you know, really, when I made the first episode, I made it very randomly out of nowhere in like a few hours one day because I was bored. And I had just listened to episode one of Up and Vanished, and it made me LOL. So I just had like that line, you know, I'm a filmmaker. I'm not a podcaster. I'm a filmmaker. I've never made a podcast, but I've also never made a film. And I just like recorded that on a voice memo and sent that to a few of my friends, and they were like, ha ha ha. And then I just like kept sort of like thinking about it, and I was like at the gym, and I just like was thinking about like what else I would want to write, and then I just got home and just sort of like shat out the first episode and then recorded it on my phone and put some weird music behind it, and the cake was just sort of like in that little writing session. I was just sort of like, and then like I made the first episode and I was like, okay, well I guess that's what this is about. Then sort of met up with a couple of my friends who are into true crime podcasts and had them as sounding boards, and we just like brainstormed ideas for where it could go, and it's when we decided to interview Gerd about the cake.
Very important interview right there.
And get her take, and that brainstorming sesh was where a lot of the ideas and the rest of the season sort of came from.
So you basically got some of your funny friends together who love true crime podcasts, and you kind of just brainstormed and just had a blast.
Yeah, and throughout the whole first season when I was making it, we had like a text thread where I would send them what I was working on, and they'd give me notes, and so I had people keeping me in check for sure. Because if I was just doing it on my own, I was worried that I might. You know, a lot of the people I was working with are a lot nicer than me, and a lot just like better people. So I needed someone to sort of like keep me in line and make sure that I wasn't doing anything mean or and that it was, you know, funny. I didn't trust myself to just be completely autonomous.
Did you have any idea how big it was going to get?
No, I mean, it kind of freaked me out, honestly, that anyone was listening to it, because I am making fun of a lot of specific podcasts. And I was worried initially, you know, I didn't even know if it was going to get approved by iTunes because of all of the ads. I guess that's okay because of parody law or whatnot. But I just made it for my friends, and I really made it because I really wanted to set a goal for myself and accomplish it. And, you know, I have to rely on a lot of people artistically, to like get stuff done. And I just realized it was something that I could just totally do on my own, and it might take a lot of time, but I just wanted to have accomplished something, in those months that I made it. So I didn't think that anyone would ever listen to it at all. I'm not sure, like, the first person that sort of, like, made it known. I just remember waking up one day and there was, like, a Facebook discussion group about it with, like, 50 people I'd never heard of. And I was kind of like, oh. And then just sort of spiraled from there. And, but, I mean, episode 5 is the episode where I discover a lot of, like, rival podcasters, and it becomes, like, really specific parody of other podcasts, and I was really nervous because the show sort of like caught on a little, had garnered a bit of a following by like episode 3. So I was really nervous for episode 5 because I wasn't sure how people would react to that. And it was kind of, you know, a different vibe from the first few episodes. So I didn't know if it would kind of just like jump the shark or whatever. But I think people who listen to podcasts want to feel like they, people like feeling like they have like a, like an eye out for like things that, and I think it's the same reason I made it, you know, I'm listening to all these podcasts and I just want someone to be like, to say what I'm thinking, you know?
Right.
And I think people liked that part of it, which was fun. And I want to do more of that for sure.
Was there something that you saw in the podcast, True Crime Podcast World, that inspired you for that?
Well, not really. I was kind of just like, all right, I want 8 episodes and I want the first one to be this, second will be this, third one will be that. And then I got to the 5th one and I was like, I want to spoof some, I want to spoof Sword and Scale really bad. And like, I needed to find a way to narratively justify that. So the rival podcast just sort of what I came up with. And then like, the more I started like learning about the politics of the podcasting world and like sort of like meeting other podcasters and stuff and just like, you know, learning about the whole atmosphere, it seemed more it seemed better than I even thought it would be, because there is a lot of this like there's like a bit of an incestual relationship with a lot of these podcasts, it seems.
There is,
which
yeah.
is fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
it's almost like a big giant
message board.
Oh yeah,
like
yeah,
like Twitter's a part of it and like Facebook's a part of it and like everyone's got haters and everyone's got beef and it's just so dumb and it's so fun and I love it.
And it's amazing because like we listen to it and again it's like humbling to listen to it and know that you're a part of that, the reason for your podcast to exist. And like I said before, it's like a check and balance to the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's really fun. I mean, yeah, it's all I'm just doing it for fun, you know. And I just like I'm having a blast with it. It's yeah. really weird that people are listening to it. And then like the Twitter thing is super fun. And like, you know, this is the first time I've really broken the fourth wall in any way. And it's going right back up after that. But yeah, it's really fun to sort of live a double life in that way. And just, you know, and a lot of the work is just like doing research by like listening to a bunch of true crime podcasts, which is my favorite thing to do. So
were you giggling through the entire process of making like producing an episode, like obviously writing it, recording
giggling.
It yeah, and then editing it, like, because I found myself just giggling the entire listening to the entire thing. And I'm and like when I make something that's funny, which it hasn't been too much lately, but it you know, I'm always giggling through that. Is that something like that you find, do you
Well, definitely at the you know, voice memos people sent me. For sure. Like when people did voices for me, they would definitely crack me up. But like my own part, I was just like trying to figure out GarageBand for months. And like, it took me so long and I just like was, it was so frustrating and I had to re-record things over and over and over and over again that it kind of drove me nuts by the end of it. And then I would like really listen to each episode obsessively and just like pick out things that bug me and go back and like re-export it and like have to like remix the entire sound. So it was just, by the time like the episodes came out, they just like sounded like word vomit to me. Like I didn't even know what was funny anymore. But there's certain, like the Nancy Grace thing, like I knew was amazing. And like I have raw audio of when I first recorded Gert. The cake woman, who's the same woman who plays Nancy Grace.
I was going to say, I thought so. Yeah. Does she, how many other voices does she do?
I think that's just, she's just those two.
Okay.
Is that actually her recipe for the cakes? Does she really know how to make cakes?
No, I Googled how to bake a cake and just changed the tense and the possessives and just texted it to her. And she just read it like that, and I have the audio of it, and I'm laughing really hard the whole time.
once you listen to that and you realize that Gert is about to completely go into the process of baking a cake, once you commit yourself to listening to that, and then it's absolutely hilarious. And then it's you know John David Booter, you know, he's just so thankful for the information that she gave him. It's amazing.
Yeah, I really love Gert. Gert is definitely going to come back. For sure. She's going to be I think I might have her do like catering or something.
Oh, at the next fundraiser.
Now that JDB has a budget.
Oh yeah, of course.
What's going on in season two?
You know, I'm trying to figure it out right now. Just met up with the same team that I sort of had last season for an initial sort of brainstorm sesh. And, you know, I got some good ideas. I feel like I definitely need to like take a couple months and just like get some distance from it. And just then maybe like go back and listen to it again and sort of with like fresh ears and figure out what I want to do next. But yeah, we're figuring out creatively, and then, you know, I'm just trying to monetize the shit out of it. So I'm trying to figure that out too. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, you should, you know, take some time off, go someplace tropical, take the earnings so far, and just put yourself up for a couple of months. And
I mean, I deserve it. Let's be real.
Yeah, you shouldn't even use your own money.
We've accomplished so much together. We deserve it.
You're right.
I actually just started a Patreon page for all of us to go away.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah.
It's already shooting up right now.
You should go to CrimeCon in May. Are you planning on going to CrimeCon?
I can't make it.
Ah.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it's a shame. No, I might. Who knows? Yeah, I'd love to go to some of that stuff.
Yeah.
That sounds really fun.
When will we find out your real identity?
Never.
Do we really need to find out the real identity?
I don't think it's important, you know? I think it's fun. I think it's more fun and funnier when there's just zero context about where it's coming from. And I would be remiss. I mean, I would be really bummed if people were picturing John David Booter as me, because I'm stunning. And that just doesn't work narratively at all.
We can only guess at how stunning you are. We can't see you on this Skype call, but the initials
I'm a beautiful man.
Yeah. It's the vocals are coming through in a beautiful manner, in a very angelic manner. Our friend Maggie from the disappearance of Maura Murray, and we've had her on Missing Maura Murray. You know who I'm referencing.
Yes, absolutely.
She wants to know if you like her. That's that was her one question that she wanted us to ask you. She said,
"Oh my God, Maggie, I love you. Why would you ever think otherwise, Mags? Come on."
She just said that she was such a big fan of your show. She was like, "I just need him to like me because I like him so much."
Yep.
Oh, the feeling's mutual, Mags.
You guys even have nicknames.
JDB.
I love everyone, you know. I'm a lover.
last question
even
I got.
Even Mitch Hubert.
That the song in episode 8, at the end of episode 8, we were playing it here in the Crawl Space Studios. It's really
it's
amazing.
Beautiful.
It's a really beautiful song and really funny, and it is actually catchy.
Yeah.
So who wrote that and how did that come to be?
It's my friend from high school. She's like just always been an amazing singer songwriter, and she's got, you know, two kids now, and she's just being a mom, and she's a big true crime podcast fan, and we sort of reconnected because she was listening to the show, and I was like, oh my God, would you write a song for the show? And she was like, on it. And then she texted me that like 2 days later, and I was like, thank you so much, it's gold, and I'm going to close the entire show with it.
She didn't.
No comments about where it comes from.
You gave her no notes on the end, because I thought the last like 30 seconds or so was absolutely brilliant, with just the over thank-you-ing.
I told her what was going to happen at the end of the season. So she knew that, you know, thanking John David Booter profusely over and over would be like an appropriate thing to do. But otherwise, yeah, she just completely came up with all of it. I didn't do anything at all.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Now, I know you said that you were going to take some time off and, you know, step back from the whole world. In the meantime, I mean, you're going to be coming back with something new, I'm assuming, sometime around 2016.
Yeah.
Right. Is there another case that you're looking at? Is there another missing person case or, you know, possible, you know, cold case unsolved crime that you got in mind?
I mean, now that Clara Pockets' case is solved.
Right. Wrapped up.
Yeah. That's all wrapped up. Totally wrapped up from top to bottom. No more questions. Yeah, I think I'm interested in doing something a little more murdery, to sort of open up the possibilities of maybe other podcasts we could get into, or just some other tropes in terms of like investigative stuff, forensics and stuff like that. So there's definitely going to be there's going to be a new case and some new characters and some new developments in John David Booter's life, but there's going to be a lot of callbacks and through lines from the first season also.
Very good.
From what I understand so far.
Right.
But isn't it great, like you mentioned with your friend from high school, isn't it great when your own podcast can affect the future of your podcast? Like, I find that,
yes,
that aspect addicting of what we do.
Yeah, that was a weird part of it. I was really trying to not let, because I had the whole thing basically, I had like a rough version of every episode finished before I started putting any of them out. So I was trying really hard to not let anything that was happening in terms of like people who were listening to it or commenting on it affect anything that I was doing creatively. But that became sort of impossible at a certain point. And you know, I would go back and do another draft. I would take like a week to sort of like tweak each episode, and just like naturally, you know, whatever's going on in your life is going to affect your perception of whatever you're working on. So I think it was stupid of me to try and shut all of that out, because it just makes it a lot more fun to sort of have art reflect life in that way.
Right. Finally, where did you get your title?
I just tried to think. I was listening to Up and Vanished, and I was like, done disappeared. that was a play on Up and Vanished.
Okay. You've been on other podcasts, you know, doing interviews about this. Is there any podcast that you haven't been on that you're hoping will reach out to you, or you might reach out to them?
I would love to go on Sword and Scale. I would love to go head to head with that guy. I have some things to say. But also, I would love to, you know, any pod. I'm down to go on any podcast. I think it's so much fun, and it's so weird for me, because I just like, you know, I listen to all these you guys, and you know, it's just very strange and weird. It's very strange and weird.
Yeah, the feeling's mutual. Like we said before, it's really surreal to listen to something like this that, you know, you gain success with, but it's a parody of what we do. And like you said, it, you know, this whole art imitating life, and to be in my car on the way to our Crawl Space Studios to do this, I'm cracking up at a parody of myself at what we
do.
Yeah,
that is fun. Yeah, it gets really meta in a really trippy way.
Yeah.
And it was even meta in ways that I didn't really realize. You know, I've talked to some people. I talked to one guy that was just sort of like, you know, why'd you make John David Booter fat? And I was like, I don't know. And he was like, well, I used to be fat, and I don't appreciate fat shaming. And then I was kind of like, well, I think I just wanted him to be really depressed. And when I'm really depressed, I get really fat. So I think that was just like really coming from my experience,
right,
more so than like, you know, trying to make fun of people for being fat. And a lot of as absurd as John David Booter's whole life has been, you know, we've all had rough patches. Like, it's not like too terribly far from anything that's happened, yeah, in my life. Right. I guess. Yeah. I mean, I don't live with my mom, but
you very well could. You very well could hit
the
a rough
podcast
patch.
Was definitely born out of some sort of like frustration. So that's definitely a thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder what like born a lot of other podcasts. Like you actually raise a good question there. You know, and it kind of made us, I think about it ourselves. Like, why do we do this? Are we doing this just for us too?
Like, just to monetize?
You know, no. I mean, it really, yeah, made you look at that mirror. I think, which is great.
I think you know, everyone wants to do good work in their own way, however it is they do that, and whatever the work is, you know.
Yeah.
And I think the podcasting thing just sort of offers a platform for you to just execute it from top to bottom and just do the work that you want to do, which is really great. And I wouldn't ever want to like shame anyone for that, you know. I just think, you know, we can all have a laugh.
Yeah, for
exactly
sure.
Exactly.
And yeah, it was very flattering hearing missing Megan Murphy.
That was the reference. I was couldn't get the reference.
Oh yeah. And then there's a something someone knows something one.
Oh, that's right. Okay,
someone found something.
That's right. Okay,
and I had one that I'm gonna bring back into season two. It was a last podcast on the left parody called The Podcast Under the Stairs.
Nice.
Oh, good. Wes Craven.
Yeah, perfect.
Cross reference.
There's that. And then there's Generation Huh. and there's a few things that I'm like I've got ready to go.
Well, if you need any like insider tips, let us know. We'll be happy to point you in the right direction.
We will be in touch, my friend.
Well, thank you so much, John David Booter.
I only have one thing left. Did you want to promote any product? Do you need to make a couple of bucks right now? Do you need to do a quick spot?
Absolutely. Blue Apron offers delicious farm fresh recipes straight to your door. Like many of you, I don't have time to drop everything and run to the store and pick up ingredients, but I do love to cook. That's why Blue Apron is perfect for me. Last week, I woke up, opened the door, and saw a big old box full of salami, potatoes, and little tiny bits of grain. And I threw them all into a pot, and I stirred them up, and without it, I would be starving to death. Blue Apron. Go to blueapron.com/disappeared and enter the promo code John David Booter for 100% off. You won't be disappointed.
Very good. Very good. I just signed up now, and promo code works just fine. So I'm looking
Amazing.
Forward
I'm
to
happy.
My delivery.
You're going to love it.
Can't wait. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for all you do.
Ah, you're welcome.
When a person goes missing, their loved ones often find themselves overcome with worry and grief. Bruce Maitland started the 501c3 nonprofit organization Private Investigations for the Missing because he knows this feeling all too well.
When Bruce's daughter Brianna disappeared in March 2004, he was surrounded by licensed private investigators dedicated to finding her. Now his mission is to provide dedicated private investigators at no cost to other families of the missing, desperate for answers but without the financial means.
Private Investigations for the Missing needs your help. To read the mission statement, make a donation, and keep up with our blog, visit us at investigationsforthemissing.org and follow us at PI for the Missing on Twitter and Facebook and Investigations for the Missing on Instagram.
Because forever is too long to wait.